The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God is the one that we wish to bring before you this afternoon. From a picture from the Old Testament, we find clearly outlined for us the Savior, the one who came from the Father as the Son, the one who came as one with the Father to do the Father's will. I refer to the chapter in Genesis 22, and if you have your Bible, I would ask that you get it and turn to the chapter, for we desire with the Lord's help to look at this wonderful passage from God's Word, another picture of the salvation that God has for us in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, His wonderful person and His finished work. The story of Abraham and Isaac, the story of the Father and the Son, is full of the lessons that God would have us learn. Lessons concerning Himself, His purpose, His plan, His way of approach for mankind, the disclosure of His heart, and that men might come to Him and find rest. In verse 2 we read, God says, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now I'm sure that my listener has often read this passage and is well acquainted with the story. Abraham was to be tried, but in the trial of Abraham's faith, we have a picture of the character of God as the one who sent His Son into the world to die at Calvary for us. In Abraham, we have a picture of the Father. In Isaac, we have a picture of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the fact that this chapter gives us a double type. We shall see this as we proceed. A double picture. On the one hand, Isaac shows us the Lord Jesus in all clarity as the one who came and bore our sins in His own body on the tree. But in the last part of the chapter, we will notice that Isaac, who found a substitute that day, is a picture of the sons of God, those who have come to Christ for salvation and have accepted Him as the substitute. For a ram, you'll recall, was found in the thicket caught by its horns, and that ram was offered in the stead of Isaac. But first of all, we want to notice how Isaac speaks to us of the Son of the Father, and that the Father gave the Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We see Abraham taking his son up to Mount Moriah. The young men went along. They rose up early in the morning. On the third day, they lift up their eyes and see the place. And Abraham takes the wood of the burnt offering and lays it upon Isaac his son. Ah, here we have a picture of God the Father sending His Son to be the Savior of the world. God so loved the world. Isaac was Abraham's only son. And God refers to the Lord Jesus as His only begotten Son. And when Abraham gave his son that day, he gave all that he had. He was the darling of his bosom. He was the one who had been promised to him, whom he had looked for, and now he was to offer him up. His heart was set upon this blessed son of his, And yet, alas, he was to give him up. And our God and Father, in the eternal counsels, had decreed that he would give his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal Father. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And again that verse, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his all. He spared not his Son, but delivered him up for us all. Here in his love we read, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now in the Father sending the Son, we see that the Son was in perfect accord. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will. When he was here, he said, I and the Father are one. They were one in nature. They were one in purpose, one in plan, one in counsel. And when they were here together, the Son of God, in obedience to the Father's will, he took every step in dependence upon his Father. And that step, each step upon step, led him to the cross, where he gave himself in accomplishing the Father's will, finishing the work which the Father gave him to do in giving himself as an offering for sin. We want to notice here the Son's submission to all that the Father decreed for him on your behalf and mine. You will notice he laid the wood on Isaac, your son. Notice the burden that our Savior bore. It was the Father, because of his love for you and me, that had the Son of God carry the cross. He bore the cross. And not only that, but all that that cross stood for. We read in Isaiah 53 that he laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Next, you will notice, down in the chapter a little way, that when they came to this place, there they bound him, that is, Abraham bound him, bound his son Isaac on the cross. Oh, when we think of this. And yet, we read of no rebellion on the part of Isaac. There was none whatever. He was perfectly in accord with his Father's will. He was perfectly submissive to the Father. Now, Isaac was not a mere lad at this time. He was a young man, one who had the energy to resist. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here in the prime of manhood, willingly submitted to the Father's will. He came not to do his own will. And in the garden, though he said, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, he said, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He also said, The cup that my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? He had come to the hour of giving up his life. He was willingly submissive. He was willing to be taken and led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was the willing victim. And you will notice in connection with this that Isaac speaks to his father and says, My father. And Abraham says, Here am I, my son. And Isaac says, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I want you to notice, first of all, here again we have the Father and Son in perfect harmony. as the Lord Jesus and his Father were in perfect harmony throughout the entire lifetime of the Savior and also in the time of his death at Calvary. They went both of them together. But Isaac says, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I want you to notice here the burnt offering is mentioned. And Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. A lamb for a burnt offering. The burnt offering was the offering that was holy, burnt, and it wholly ascended to God as a sweet-smelling savor. It was that which pictured for us the Lord Jesus in his devotion to the Father's will, that everything he did was in accord with the will of his Father. And laying down his life at Calvary was the full expression of this devotion, even to death, the death of the cross. As Paul, writing to the Philippians, tells us, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And God provided himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Yes, there was no lamb in all of human history that could satisfy God's righteous claim. There was no man in whom he could find rest and say, I am well pleased. So he provided his own lamb, a lamb that would satisfy him about the question of sin, a lamb that would take away the sin of the world, a lamb that would be able to suffer the just for the unjust, that you and I might be brought to God. God himself provided a lamb, and he provided the lamb for himself. A lamb that would glorify him on the earth, that would finish the work which God gave him to do, and that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that lamb that glorified the Father and finished the work. But I want you to notice what Abraham had in his hand. He had the fire in his hand, and he had the knife in his hand. And oh, beloved, when we think of the holiness of God that could not look upon sin, even though it was his Son, his only begotten Son, his darling of his bosom, and yet in holiness he had to forsake him. He had to, as it were, plunge the knife into him, the knife that justice aimed at us sinners. Ah, it was uplifted to be plunged into the breast of his own beloved Son. Yes, God, who loved you and loved me, did not spare his Son. You'll notice also that we have here that Abraham built an altar. It was God the Father's work to prepare this altar in eternity past. Because in eternity past, we read, Peter tells us of the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. A lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world, says Peter. A lamb slain from the foundation of the world, says John in the Revelation. Yes, it was in God's heart, the holy God, who could not and does not pass by sin, but the one who loves the sinner, that provided in the eternal counsels one to die in the sinner's stead. Yes, Abraham built the altar, the way of approach to God. Christ is that altar. And God has provided a way of approach to himself through the cross on which our Savior died. Then you want to notice here also that Isaac was bound on the altar upon the wood. What are the cords that bound our Savior to Calvary? Were they not the cords of love, the cords of devotion? Indeed, nothing less. For he willingly came and allowed himself to be placed there as the willing victim for our guilt and folly stricken, all our judgment borne by him. So we have then the beautiful picture And Abraham about to stretch forth his hand, he takes the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. Lay not thine hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And here the type changes. Here Isaac is let go free. This did not happen to our Lord Jesus. But I believe that God wants to show us here that no man, not even an Isaac, could carry forth the type to its completion. Therefore, Isaac is released. And here the scripture is fulfilled. To Abraham, whose faith saw in his beloved son, one whose seed would be a blessing to all mankind. And he received him back in a figure, he received him back from the dead. This is what Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 11. But now let me just, for the few remaining moments that I have with you, look at the second part of this picture, the type, when we have Abraham staying his hand, and he lifts up his eyes and looks, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. You know, a ram in Scripture is symbolical of the sacrifice of Christ in the character of its devotedness, consecration to the will of God, to go forth in aggressiveness to do the will of God to accomplish salvation. And you notice the thought of the horns here is significant. The horn speaks of power. This blessed one who came into the world, the babe of Bethlehem, the Christ of Galilee, the man of Calvary, he is not only willing, but he is able. He has power to redeem. He has power to save. He's caught by his horns. And Abraham took the ram, and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And beloved, here, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who was offered up at Calvary for you. Isaac could look at that ram and could say, he died in my place. He took my place. Can you this day look at Calvary, the one who hung thereon, and say, he died for me? Jesus died to set me free. Jesus died at Calvary. Not a blessing that I owe, but to Jesus Christ I owe. Ah, beloved, here, what a picture we have here of God's wonderful provision in the Lamb without spot or blemish. That blessed one died for your sins and was raised for your justification. And all that you need to be set free from the just judgment and wrath of a holy God that you deserve because of your sin, all that you need do is to claim him by faith as the one that died for you. Do you want to be set free from your sin? You want to go to heaven when you die? You want to be ready when the Lord comes? I'm sure you do. There's only one way, and it's by the way of the cross. There's only one place to rest your soul upon, and it's the Lamb of God. There's only one who could die for you, who did die for you, who could take your place. You cannot suffer for your own sin. You cannot offer to God any sacrifice that God can accept. The only sacrifice that God accepts is the Lamb of his own provision, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his work has satisfied a holy God, and God now offers him as the substitute for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you notice that verse with me and put your name in that whosoever? For God so loved the world, that means you, that he gave his only begotten Son for you. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaac, I'm sure, was grateful to that ram that was provided in his stead. Will you not now be grateful for the Lamb of God who was offered up in your stead? He died for you. Will you not trust him? Will you not take him? Taking him is believing on him. Will you not do so?